encouraging. And thank you, Lord, this is just one of those moments. It's one of those moments. I'm going to ask you to take your seats as we stay in an attitude of worship. Just when we sing a song like this, we just got to be so careful we don't imagine God is coming to us from somewhere else. When we say, "Here I am waiting for you," what I'm probably saying is, to my mind, you need to catch up to where God is living. And you're not experiencing His presence. You're not experiencing His intimacy. So my mind needs to change gears. So that's the position I stand in when I sing words like that. I'm commanding my mind to catch up with what's happening in my spirit. I'm not expecting God to come to me from another planet. I'm not waiting here in a way that He's a distant God and hopefully He's going to connect with me if I just keep on, you know, inviting Him. No, He can't be closer than He is right now. God designed you for His habitation. He designed us corporately as a body to be the temple where He lives. God doesn't live in the mountains or the trees or on the planet. He lives in His body. Amen. And when His body comes together like this, there's a sense of His Holy Spirit moving among us. Because we connect it like little drops of water, of H2O in a glass of water. They're separate, but they connect it. And we connect it together in the Spirit. And when we come together like this, it's not just to have a sing song and then go about my merry way. It's about the temple experiencing the coming of His anointing among us. So we sing, "I'm waiting here for you." One of the ways God ministers and shows Himself to us is by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Heard such a good teaching last week. If you weren't here, please download that. Just the different categories of the gifts of the Spirit. Greg taught on really well. And we don't have to get confused about those gifts, although they're in, if you've got three boxes, they're in three different categories, if you like. They're the gift ministries, which you find in Ephesians 4, which are those gift ministries that are chosen by God. You can't just become an apostle or an evangelist or a teacher or a pastor. That they're given from the Father to His bride to serve her. Then there's another group of gifts we find in Romans 12 that are the motivational gifts. They kind of who you are. Some are, you know, you're like love languages can help you identify. Are you a server, a giver, a teacher, leader, a speaker, a businessman. It's kind of motivational gifts, if you like. And then in Corinthians 12 and 14, it talks about the gifts that belong to all of us. And when we come together and those gifts operate, we are built up. You know, the church needs building up from time to time. Hello? You need building up. I need building up. And how does God do that? The conductor points at someone with a prophetic word, points at someone else to teach, points at someone else to do something else. And that's how the body's built up. That's why it's very special when we come together corporately like this and there's some prophetic flow. Can you feel when the prophetic comes, how it just raises the sense of the presence of God? Let me ask you, sitting here this morning, because I know most of you have been around in the Christian church for quite a while. Who's been used by God to give somebody a prophetic word? Say, in the last year. I better quantify it, else someone will think, you know, back in the day. But in the last year, you have been used by God to give, to flow prophetically into someone's life. Just stand up so I can just get an idea. Just stand up if you Yeah, that's great. In fact, all those standing, just come to the front now. Just come stand in the front. Just come as you are. You see, to those still sitting, and you might be wondering, have I prophesied? Okay, full the front and then face the church. I want them to see the prophets. Now you see, these aren't necessarily prophets. These aren't necessarily prophets. These are people that got used in the gift of prophecy. That's that third box of gifts that's for everybody. And you know how the gift of prophecy works? Do we need the gifts of healing? Can we just pray? Just maybe those guys there, it looks like we got a challenge. Father, right now, just healing touch, healing touch, healing touch. Okay, praise God. Healing touch. You know, and I'm talking to those standing in front here as well. Sometimes the gifts of prophecy work best when we're just praying for somebody. You're just praying for somebody, and then suddenly you get like an understanding about their situation. Or you just start praying things you never were prepared to pray, but they start coming out of your mouth. That's the best kind of prophecy. Because you don't want the pressure of, oh, I've got to now prophesy. Oh, blessed be the Lord. I don't have to change my language. I just have to start praying for somebody. And while I'm praying for them, there's the gift of life that comes. And Paul says, when you come together, this is the gift you should desire. Amen? Now, I know some of you sitting there, you're thinking, yeah, I also have, but I just don't know if I should be standing up there. Don't worry, no pressure. I'm doing this to illustrate something this morning. Because I know there's many people maybe sitting, and maybe one or two standing up here, who just came here this morning, and in the back of your mind, if I were to say to you, God's got a word for you. He wants to say something to you. You'd get very excited, like, whew, now's a good time. You know, I know God's never late. I just wish it'd be early sometimes. Well, I need a word and I need it. You know, that would be great. I know there's some people who, if I said that to them, it would trigger something in them. Wow, yes, that's what I need. I'd love to just hear something from God. Well, we're going to do that right now. Because in a moment, I want to ask everybody to stand up. And those who say, yeah, I want to position myself for ministry of a prophetic nature. You're going to come and stand in front of these folk. Folk here who need that will step out and turn around and face back into the group. And the rest will just wait as people come and will start ministering. Amen. Can we do that? We heard about the gifts last week. Should we practice them today? So let's all stand up together. Let's stand up and come right now. Heather's going to play prophetically on the ivories. But those of you saying, that's me, I'm coming. Just come right now. Just step out of your seats. Come up to the front. Those in front who say, I'd rather receive a word this morning, you step forward and turn back. But those of you ready to give, those of you ready to give, just stay in position. That's right, just come. Just come and stand in front. Make a line around in the front. There'll be enough space. There you go. There you go. And Heather's just going to play very softly so we can hear ourselves talk now. Now, those of you standing facing them, no pressure. Just go and start praying. And as you start praying, I declare a release over your life this morning of the prophetic gift in Jesus' name. There you go. Go. Start ministering. Start praying. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone still standing out there, just reach out your hand and say, God, somebody needs a word this morning. I want to come into agreement. Somebody needs a word today. Would you speak to them? Will you do that? Those of you standing out there, would you be in agreement with me, Lord? There's people here who desperately need a word. Desperately need a word. Would you use the instrument? There's still some folk waiting for you. If you still want to come, there's some folk standing over here. Just come right now. Saying, I want to hear from God. Here's some folk standing over here. Just come and pray. Thank you for the release of your life, of your gifts, of your purpose, of your freedom over people's lives this morning, Lord. Here's some folks standing here still this morning. If you came up to Get Ministry, just find somebody standing. There's folk on the other side wanting to pray for you. Bill, just to help me administrate, if you see people waiting, if you can just... James, I think there might be some folks standing waiting for prayer. They can go that side. Amen. Well, if you're not praying for anybody now, Prancha, just find somebody who's also not praying for somebody and pray for them. So by now, you found somebody. If you're standing up here, just find somebody standing on their own. Even if it's one of those who came up to bring a word, just pray for them. Just pray, as you're praying, the life of God, the prophetic flow of life, just begin to flow through this person, Lord. A word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, words of... Pray for healing, Lord. Pray for faith. Pray for revelation. Thank you, Lord. Stevie. Oh, good. Yeah, good. Good. Okay, I'm going to release some words now. Oh, thank you, Lord. So this is partly what it looks like when the church is at work. you're visiting with us this morning, I want to say to you, you chose a very good morning to visit with us, because this is what the church should look like when it's at work. You see, the church is the body of Jesus. The body of Jesus on earth, and part of us being His body on earth is that Jesus said, the things that I do, you will do, and even greater things than these, you will do. Say that after me, greater things. Greater things. You see, Jesus, when He was walking on earth as a man, He was 100% limited in His humanity. He was 100% a man. And as a man, He came to demonstrate what a born-again, spirit-filled man would look like. That was Jesus' purpose, partly. Proclaim the kingdom of the Father, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was the first man as a born-again spirit, although didn't have to be born again because He was born again. He was God in the flesh. But He came to demonstrate what His bride would look like. And that's you and me. And Jesus didn't have an unfair advantage. He didn't wake up in the morning and walk 2 inches above the ground. He got up in the morning like you and me and did what everyone else has to do. But He lived in dependence on the Holy Spirit. He operated in the gifts. When He saw Nathanael under the tree, He said, I saw you. At least when Nathanael came to Him, He said, I saw you under the tree. And Nathanael was surprised that Jesus knew where He'd come from. You see, He was operating in a word of wisdom, revelation. Another time, there's many examples in Scripture where Jesus operated in all the different gifts of the Spirit. But He was doing it to demonstrate to us what it would look like. Hello? And now we're His body on earth. Because His body is not here as His body. We are now His body. He's the head of the body in heaven. His body's on earth, and on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be on earth. So the same Jesus that walked around and ministered on earth is the same Jesus that's in us, His body. In the marketplace, at the school, in the home, His body is now not just in one place, but it's all over, proclaiming the kingdom of the good news of the gospel, demonstrating the love of the Father. You see, that's what you've got inside you. You've got the capacity and the potential to show the world how wonderful God is, how loving He is, how kind He is, how beautiful He is, because you're His body, as Jesus was on earth. As He is, so am I in this world. And all we're doing this morning is we're giving expression to those gifts. Now, that's not some weird, spooky, spiritual thing. It's just very natural. As we minister to people, the flow of the gift comes. Who came out this morning felt like God had something to say to them today? Look at that. I mean, that's like a whole bunch of people more than when we walked in this morning. Isn't that beautiful? So back to my three boxes of the gifts. The first gift was the Ephesians gifts. That's the gift from the heaven to the church. The Father to the church. The second gift were those Romans 12 motivational gifts. And then the one we're talking about this morning has been the Corinthians 12, Corinthians 14 gifts. And if you take this third box, you could divide it into three files. The top file is the revelation gifts. That's revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. The next file is the power gifts. That's faith, miracles, healings. And then the third file is the oratory gifts, or the spoken gifts, which is tongues, interpretation, prophecy. And Paul says, out of all of those, when you come together like this, it's no use you all just shouting in tongues all the time, because that's not going to really build up anyone else except the person praying in tongues. But when you prophesy, he says, that's what you need in your midst like this. Now that can happen either one-on-one, like we saw this morning, Or it can happen like we do every Sunday when we, while we're singing, a person comes with a word for the group. So, Graham, I've got a question for the church this morning. What hath are you? What hath are you? First scripture coming out of Corinthians says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you ignorant. So that's the first thing. We need some understanding and teaching, and that's why we had the teaching we had last week. That was helpful. But not to stop there. See, this meeting should have carried on after that meeting. Second scripture is, follow after love, but desire earnestly. Who's got a desire? You got a desire. You came up and you prayed for somebody. There's got to come a desire. If you've never prophesied, if you've never had an interpretation for a tongue or spoken in tongues or had the Holy Spirit point at you and say, you've got the word of faith today. You've got the revelation today. You've got the prophecy today. You've got a desire. There's got to be something in you that says, I want that. And then the next passage says, what is it then, brethren? When you come together, each one, hath a psalm, hath a teaching, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speaks in a tongue, let it be two or three or the most, three and that in turn, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God, and let the prophet speak by two or three, and the others discern. Here's the interesting thing, that there was some kind of order in their corporate meeting. Oh no, I thought we just flow, and you know, we don't, yeah, we do just flow, but there's got to be some conducting and leading. So Paul says, when you're on your own, that's great. You speak in tongues, you prophesy as much as you like. In a corporate time, there's some practical things. Before I get on to the practical things, thanks Graham, I'm asking you the question, what hath are you? When we come together as the body, what hath are you? These people that stood up front here this morning deposited something. They hathed something. What hath are you? That guy hath a problem. And he hath a big trouble. What hath are you when we come together? Some has a revelation, some has a tongue, some has a prophecy, some really desirous, not ignorant of the gifts of the Spirit working through them. But let me, before I say all that, can I be brutally practical this morning? Okay. I want to do just a little bit of pastoring maybe, more than teaching. I know some people struggle with their ears during the music, and the volume is loud. And I found if I got a cold or something, I got some head stuff, the bass really hurts my ears. And I sympathize with people. So we've got a whole box of earplugs in the bookshop at a very reasonable price. And it's not a, it's not to try and poke fun at someone or be, there's times I might use it. All it does is it dampers that boom, boom, boom. So you can go boom, boom, boom. And it's a practical thing because as much as we struggle to get the sound right, we can't keep everybody happy all the time. So if people are struggling with that, let's be practical. Let's be practical. Coming back to more the operation of the gifts, before we try and wax too humorous here this morning. Attitude of the person coming up to bring a word should be one of, God, I want to be used. You know, it takes courage to come up here. So you're already feeling a bit nervous and a bit vulnerable. So my encouragement to you is, when he speaks to you, be obedient and bring the word to whoever's facilitating. in a spirit of, it took a lot of courage to get up here, but I'm prepared that if I don't get to share this, that's okay. I did my part. I was obedient, and now you guys have to hear from God. Is that okay? Because I know that feeling of you get all dressed up and no place to go, and then afterwards, why didn't they want to release me? I had a prophetic word. I had God's word for the day. I could have changed everything. They could have had revival in that church, and they resisted it. They didn't have the prophet. They resisted the prophet. That's not helpful. And then also to the person facilitating. Let me say to whoever we ask to facilitate the mark, that we need to be sensitive to people coming. We need to be sensitive, firstly, to the timing. Have you ever felt like sometimes a word comes, it was a good word, but it was at the wrong time? The worship was just at a place where people were Jesus-centered, declaring how great and wonderful He is, and then the word came, "Oh, I know you're in a valley, my child. And oh, I know how difficult it's been." And we just feel like, what's the timing? Now, if that happens, hey, we're not aiming to be a show here. So if we drop a catch, we're still in the game. But we don't want to drop a catch every time we get together. We want some time, you know, things need to flow. So the guys are trying to be sensitive to the timing, to the mood, what they sense the Spirit saying. And sometimes all they will do is summarize. Because four people came up in quick succession, in rapid fire. And all they're going to do now is summarize the gist. "No, but pick me. Pick me. Please, pick me. Makes it very difficult for their job. But to say to the people facilitating, be gentle. Because it took a lot of courage for those people to come up in the first place. You might be quite new in the church and you're thinking, who are those people that go up and share those prophetic words? Have you got to be like, have a special place in the church? You know, have you got to have some kind of diploma or something? No, it's for you. But you have got to not be ignorant, number one. And two, you've got to desire it. And then you've got to ask your question, what hath I for today? Is it what I hather for a person individually, like what we saw here? Or is what I hather for a larger context, a word for the body? Because the mistake we could make is we stop the prophetic altogether, because then we just become a sing-song and a nice little talk, 3 points in a poem, and we all go home. No, we want the life of the Spirit and the gifts to be in operation. But it doesn't have to be the same people every time. It's just that they're the obedient ones. But what about you? When last did you have her? Do you desire to have her? Do you need some education about the heather? So I'm just giving you some practical guidelines. When you feel a stirring in your heart and you say, is it, isn't it? Sometimes you just got to come, submit it to the person that's facilitating the meeting, and then leave it. And if it gets an opportunity to be expressed, that's great. If not, because in the scripture we saw this morning, Paul says, when you come together and an unbeliever comes in and you're all just making a big noise and there's no order, they're going to think you're mad. You know, they think you're mad anyway. Hello? Your unsaved friends, your unsaved family, they think you're a little cuckoo, cuckoo, loony tune as it is. Now they come into a gathering like this. He says, they're going to think you're mad. So rather let the prophetic flow, because what does Paul say going on in that passage? He says, because prophecy, the gift of prophecy will lay their hearts bare before God. Do you remember that feeling you had first time maybe you heard the gospel and you went to your friend who took you and you said, why did you tell the pastor everything about my life? None of his business. Why did you have to go and tell him all those things I told you? That was confidential, you know. And they said, I didn't tell the pastor, but while he was preaching, the Holy Spirit was taking his words and opening your heart. That's the prophetic word. What I'm doing now is I'm prophesying. Teaching is prophesying. It's a vocal gift. Do you have any idea how powerful instrument God has given you through the tongue? When you speak God's word over people, when you pray prophetically over someone, when you bring a prophetic word, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, you have no idea how powerful that is to change someone's destiny. So he says, rather do that stuff when you come together. So someone comes with a prophetic word, someone comes with a tongue, someone comes with an interpretation, someone feels there's a gift of healing to be in operation. And he ends the chapter by saying, let all things be done orderly. You see, I've got to ask myself this question. You've got to ask yourself this question. Is my use of this gift right now going to make it easy for somebody to encounter Jesus or not? For example, my unsaved brother comes to church. He's sitting next to me. The word you bring, the prophecy, the whatever you, your freedom in the spirit, whatever it is it going to make it easier or more difficult for him? So that's what we talk about, consideration. So there's a consideration. I've got freedom in the spirit to do anything I want to do, but is my freedom going to make it easy or more difficult for someone else to walk through the door, to get saved, to get healed, to encounter God? Or is it just because it's great for me? Now, I'm not talking about when God sovereignly falls on somebody. And I mean, we don't want to. I mean, that's wonderful. God will use that. I'm just talking about an attitude of heart that says, is my freedom going to make it easier for someone else or more difficult? And then maturity is, God, I'm going to do the right thing. Amen? Are you following me? I mean, we had such a good teaching last Sunday about the gifts of the Spirit, but I left kind of feeling like we need some massaging and some practical pastoring in this area of how it operates, how it works. So when you come forward to share your word, please, we don't want to hear your whole quiet time. What do you mean by that? Well, if you come up and say, I saw a rainbow over the country and God pouring out his blessing, and then James says, go for it, or Bill, or whoever's, go for it. Then you get up and say, good morning, church. I just want to share something with you, but before I do that, I just want to tell you how I got saved. Now, poor Ronnie, you've made his job really difficult right there. Now, he's like, So tell what you said. Share what you said without your whole quiet time and your whole life story. And also, so without amplifying it. And then also practically, don't change the whole direction of the meeting. We've had people come up and have a prophetic word and they say, okay, now everybody stand up and come out to the front and start dancing around the church. And we're saying, well, why don't you just share the word and let the leaders give direction to the meeting? It's a practical thing. So I get nervous when somebody comes with just, I've got a verse, Pastor. I want to read this verse. And then they use that as an opportunity to launch their evangelistic ministries and hand out business cards and take email addresses. And I get nervous about that. So then we have to stop a person because they're amplifying and going on and on. Now we've got to stop them. So now not only have we, in their eyes, grieve the Holy Spirit, but we've upset a whole lot of people, and now we're the big bad wolves again. So make our work easy by just sticking with what you share. Now, having said all that, considering others, the attitude of those coming up, those releasing, everyone with an attitude of Hatha. By the way, that was the King James version, you guessed. I don't Hatha preacher like a thateth every Sundayeth, hallelujah. But that's a catchy phrase. I like that. What Hatha you? While we were prophesying here this morning, one-on-one, a couple of people had words that they felt was for the body. Bill, will you come? Can we get the mic? And there were one or two others, and we'll release you now.
I just feel, in one sense, it's going to confirm what Steve has been saying here this morning. But when I came in here, I just sensed again God's awesome love and compassion towards each person. Now, there's some of you that have walked in here this morning with a lot of fear and a lot of trepidation of what you've been seeing happening around in the world and all that sort of thing. And I really believe that prophetically, the Holy Spirit will want to encourage you this morning to step up and to look and see what He is doing. And you know, right here, as we don't have to work up anything. He's with us. He was with you at home. He's with you here. The awesome presence of God. Concentrate on that. And I just sense His mercy. The big word that came into my heart again is His mercy that's toward. You know, the Bible speaks of grace and mercy. And His mercy, His loving kindness, His love is here all the time. And we need to build ourselves up. And one of the things the Lord gave me this morning, which I believe He's speaking prophetically to us in light of this, of the gifts and things that Steve has been speaking about, He wants us to look. And if you remember, I won't read the word to you, but the story of Elijah and the servant. And He sent His servant out to go and look for the rain. And He sent him out seven times. On the seventh time He came back, yes, and He said He saw a rain like a cloud. At the size of His fist, correction, the size of His fist. And I just feel, let us do something real prophetic here this morning. Let's just lift up our hands. This, your fist like that. And that's what He said. And just hold it there and see the cloud. That's the size of the cloud. But that cloud grew into a large storm. It grew dark and the rain came. And Elijah said, gird up your garments and run. The rain is here. And when I hear this, what is said this morning, when I see the foundation that is laid this morning, that's a foundation for the gifts to flow and for this church to move. And we're going to see it seven times. Look all the time. It's only that size now. But it's going to be a cloud that's going to hover over this place. I remember years ago, and when with Steve in India, I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw a cloud filling this place. And God's cloud is here right now. Just log in. Just log in and start downloading this awesome God's love and mercy and compassion, and it'll flow out of here through that door into the nations. That's what God has called us to do. Today we're going to see how we're going to reach the nations. Here is opportunity of things that Stephen is talking about. Go out and speak His word. His word will break through. His word is breaking through right now. And you know, the other thing, the Lord has called me as a watchman to the house of Israel, and He said to me that I need to warn and warn His church, and I just sense a warning coming up. Don't let the fear come near you. Don't let the fear overtake you. But look up and hold your hand there. The cloud is there. It's getting bigger and it's going to flow more and more and more. Amen. Amen.
Steve, you had a word of knowledge. You want to come? And then, yeah, Steve and Norma and Janet had a word. Bill obviously operates in the gift of prophecy, but also in the more also the office of prophecy. And that's quite an important thing to be able to distinguish. If you just remember those three boxes, Ephesians 4 are offices from heaven. One of them is prophetic, a prophet. But the gift of prophecy is in the third box, which is a gift that we can all use. You don't have to be a prophet to prophesy. But Bill does operate in the office as well. So that's good for us to know. Steve had a word of knowledge.
Yeah, thanks everyone. I really felt during this time that there was somebody who was too scared to come to the front. I just want to ask you, after the service or now if you like, just meet me at the back. I have a word for you specifically.
Just now in the praise and worship, I just suddenly saw Jesus in the throne room. And I felt that as I stood there, I was standing there for all of us. And it was beautiful, and it was golden, and Jesus was there. And I knew it was Jesus, but I couldn't see his face. And I saw the mantle of love. And I just felt that Jesus is saying to all of us this morning, feel my love. And his love is flowing from him into you, church. And just let it in. We are in him, and he is in us. And as that love flows into you, it will flow out to other people as God desires it to do. And he has joy for us. Feel the joy, church. Feel the joy. And in Jesus, there is rest and peace. No matter how busy, how crowded the day, there is rest and there is peace in Jesus. He died for us, and he has so much for us. Don't lose out. Just know that he loves you with a whole pure love, and let your focus be on him from now until eternity. And thank you, Lord, for this word.
Yeah, just hold it. Now that would be a classic prophetic encouragement. Steve's word would have been more a word of knowledge that can be specifically directed, but a general word like that. You feel like you got that kind of word, you share it from here, and then we can always say, if that you that person, then either after the meeting or during the meeting, that they can pray for you. So that's a different operation of the gift. What Norma shared would have been more the gifts of prophecy. And then Janet's got a word of knowledge.
I don't think it's a word of knowledge, but the church can judge. Last week, Greg mentioned...
Okay, it's a prophecy.
Okay. Greg mentioned the transference of gifts by the laying on of hands. And I don't think we must underestimate that as well. Like in the desiring of gifts, the laying on of hands plays a huge part. And I looked up, he spoke specifically about the ability to create wealth. And that too is a gift that's imparted through the laying on of hands. And I try to look it up. I haven't found the scripture yet. I'll probably email him and ask him. But last week already, God stirred it up inside of me that if you have a desire to create wealth, you need to get somebody who's got that gift operating in their lives to lay hands on you and to impart that ability to create wealth. And I don't know if Steve wants to take it from here, if people want to stand that want to have that gift, or people that know that they've got that gift can stand and then pray for those that want or need that gift. It's a spiritual gift. It's a supernatural gift. Sometimes we think it's just a clever gift. In other words, somebody who's been to varsity and somebody who has been set up in life. But there's a spiritual gift which gives you the ability to create wealth, which is imparted through the laying on of hands.
Thanks for that word of knowledge. If you believe God has gifted you just with an ability to create wealth, then without being trying to be super humble now, regardless of your current situation, don't look at where you are now, but you know God has gifted you in that area to generate finances. Stand to your feet right now. Just stand up. That's it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, that's enough of you. Thank you, because I knew the first 10 would be the right 10. And now I'm going to ask you to do a very, very brave thing. Where you're standing, just do a slow 360-degree turn. Just do a 360-degree turn, just where you're standing. Because I want the church to get a look at you and know who you are. Because I think we need to identify and know who God has given this gift to. So that it's then incumbent on you as a entrepreneurial businessman, wannabe, beginning to be, Hathaby, to seek out these kind of people to pray for you. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you for staying. I wanna finish with this last exhortation. They didn't say, well, they're going to do a song now. One last word of exhortation. We are the body of Jesus on earth. One of the ways he functioned on earth was flowing in the Spirit, in the gifts of the Holy Spirit on earth. We as his body on earth are to preach the gospel, operate in the gifts of the Spirit, and see heaven come to earth. As it is on earth, as it is in heaven. Things I've been doing, you'll do an even greater than these. I say all that to say that what we're talking about this morning in terms of the gifts is not just for Sunday morning. What we're talking about, Jay, is not just for Sunday. Yes, it is. And we need to stir up the fires. We need to fan the flame. We need the prophetic and the gifts to flow. But it's not just for Sunday morning. So this morning's teaching is a little bit around Sunday morning. The next two Sundays are going to be about how this works out into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Amen? And our evenings together is really just soaking in the river. So if you come on a Sunday night, it'll just be a time of just soaking, refreshing in glory. But over the next few weeks, we're going to be teaching practically around this thing. So can we stand up together? We're going to take up the offering. And everyone said, amen. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your giving. This church can only do what it can because of the stewardship and resources that you give. Amen? I mean, let's be practical here. We know God blesses you because He loves you. But we also know that this local building can only do what it can do because of your partnership and stewardship. So those of you who give regularly and are in the habit of giving, well done. It's a good habit. Those who are in the habit of not giving, that's a bad habit. But it's a habit. And if it is a habit, you need to change that habit. Amen? Now you can be a little bit more enthusiastic about that. So Father, we thank you that as we come this morning, and we bring our offering to you. We thank you that the gospel will be preached in this place, God willing, till next Sunday and beyond. Thank you for the stewardship of your people. And I pray, Lord, press down, shaken together according to their generosity. As we bring our seed this morning, as we bring our first fruits, as we bring our offering into the house of God. Amen.